This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of Truth Seekers. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this Amazon Prime, or this Amazon series, which dropped on October 30th, just in time for Halloween. And it stars Nick Frost, Simon Pegg-ish, Samson Kao, and Emma D'Arcy. And it was created by Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, James Serafinowicz, and Nat Saunders, and directed by Jim Field Smith. There's 8 episodes that run between 24 and 32 minutes long. And yeah, that's pretty much the vile statistics of Truth Seekers. What's it about, Wayne?
Truth Seekers is about an internet service installer named Gus Roberts, played by Frost, who is very good at his job from a company called Smile. After receiving glowing praise from his boss, who is Simon Pegg, Gus is assigned a clumsy new partner whose name is Elton John. And Gus is also
who is a young black man of British descent.
Yes. I don't mind that gag. It's played a lot, though.
Oh, my God. Do they play that gag a lot?
Gus is also an avid ghost hunter, or purveyor of the paranormal, if you will. And his installations tend to bring him to haunted houses, which allow him to pursue his hobby and record videos and shit. That's what I've seen so far.
Yeah, we made a pact. Here's your little insight, dear listener. We made a little pact that we would watch the first 4 episodes. After I watched 3, I texted Wayne and said, I'm done. And Wayne, I believe, also stopped after 3. So this will be spoilers only for episode 3, though. We'll start general, hit the spoiler button, and then we'll get into the details of the plot that unfold such that it is. This is meant to be a comedy horror, Wayne.
Mm.
Is it either?
No, I don't believe it is. This show is what I would call aggressively forgettable.
Oh, generous.
What it is, it's thriving on, I guess, the reason I even looked at it in the first place is like, ooh, Peg and Frost again.
Exactly.
Let's check it out, okay? And then this is written by them too. Should be great. But all it wants to do is make you chuckle a bit. It's not funny, right? And
I would say I laughed twice in the first episode only.
That's it.
Didn't laugh a single time in the second or third.
Right. And it's either because I don't know if they're trying to intersperse their horror or scariness into it and that sort of one reason or another offsets the comedy.
Yep.
Or they're just not trying to make you laugh, or they're trying and they're failing to make you laugh.
I think it's the latter.
I think it is the latter as well. They want, they're just like, even the scares are potential scares. They're not even, do you know what I mean?
Nothing unsettling or frightening.
No, there's no.
Just lame.
And what it seems to be doing based on the 3 episodes I've watched is, and I'm noticing this 3 episodes in, which is not good, right? I'm like, oh, you're going to start the episode with a flashback of something
that explains whatever supernatural slash ghosty thing.
And then you cut forward to see how these guys go and deal with it. That's not good. You don't.
It's fine once.
It's fine once, but then if it's every episode is Freak of the Week, right? And then there's no like lineage throughout.
Well, there is a thread through it that develops.
But it's not, from what I saw, it didn't come to much. You know what I mean?
Oh, look, again, we didn't even get halfway, so we probably need to be fair. We are a bit premature
with this.
But if you've got an 8 episode series, you need to have landed your audience by the end of episode 3.
Exactly. That's the rule, right? By 3, if you ain't nailed, you ain't nailed. So it seems like it's almost, did you feel like it was lazily written?
Yeah, I did.
Because it's not, you don't get this, I don't know what I felt was like with Hot Fuzz, they were hungry, it was, you know what I mean?
Well, let's explain this whole thing now with the absence of, well, 2 words, 1 person, Edgar Wright.
Mm.
There's no Edgar Wright in this show.
Yeah.
And boy, do you feel his absence.
You're so right.
Right? Edgar Wright wrote all those films that these two are great in together, right?
Yes, that's what's happened.
Think about Paul, which is a fine film. It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's nowhere near as good as Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead,
you
know, because there's no Edgar Wright
absolutely
involved.
Absolutely. So, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. I didn't know that he had that much of a
you can't hand take away one element of the Holy Trinity and be left with the cool duo. I don't know. It just doesn't work. These two aren't good enough together.
No, they're not. And it's like it's almost like a Ghostbusters-esque saga, but with a very stale sense of humor. Like, it's not pithy and, like, it's not this sort of, it's not interesting. I was sitting there going, each of these things are falling quite flat. Each time they're trying something, it's like,
Malcolm McDowell's in a supporting role.
Malcolm McDowell, huge. I'm like, holy crap, Malcolm McDowell's in it.
As Nick Frost, is it Gus? Is that his name?
Yeah, Gus is
Gus's dad. And, you know, there's a promise in the first episode this might amount to something. By the end of episode 3, it's just wet fish.
Exactly.
He's not funny. His character's not funny. Their interactions aren't funny.
Mm.
And that's what he's there for. He's not there to be scary. You know, he's meant to support the comedy side of things, and it's just not working.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, like you implied, the scares, the ghostiness, the horror of it, if I can call it that, because, boy, that's a generous definition.
I honestly don't think there's any horror as such.
I would almost show this to my 7-year-old daughter, who's a bit of a fraidy cat, and not be worried about her getting nightmares.
Yeah.
It's that lame.
Now, here's the thing. That usually works for me. I'm like, oh, it didn't really scare me much, so I had a good time.
Yep.
But this wasn't interesting enough. Like, no. as it's like these benign sort of like attempts at scaring, or even like the dread feelings and stuff like that, there's none of that
what
here.
What dread feelings?
Yeah, there's none of that here. And I get how that would get in the way of making you laugh. So at least make a decision and make me laugh or make me scared.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Let's check in with Captain Holt and see what he thought of the show.
Time for the next level. Forced laughing.
Shut up. Okay. You need to cut that fucking sound in half, all right? You don't need the fucking laugh at the end, you cunt.
Laugh at the end's what makes it.
It's nothing. None of it makes it. The board doesn't make it. Anyway, please go on.
That was by far more amusing for me than this entire 90 minutes I spent with this show during the course of the week. In fact, I'm going to go a little further than that and say that I have signed up for a steps challenge at work. Right? Mm-hmm. Team and our team at work, 7 of us on board against 54 other teams within the place that we work.
Yeah.
We're currently sitting 9th. And to get my steps up, given I work a very sedentary job, sitting down all the time, if I'm watching something and I'm not enjoying it / I don't give a shit, I start walking around my open area, living area.
Yeah.
And this is what I did for just about the entire, I got 20 minutes into the first episode and said, yep, well, I need to get some steps up. Started walking.
Oh, God. If a movie or a show is pissed you off enough that you've gone, nah, I'm going to get some exercise at the same time.
Yep.
Means that you're not paying attention that much to
it. If you're on a treadmill at the gym and you're watching something, you're obviously not watching it closely, you know.
So, yeah.
And maybe it's to the show's detriment. It's to my review's detriment. I don't have a lot to say about this show other than it's unfunny and it's not scary until we get to particulars of the plot, which, you know, talk a little bit more about that. Just avoid it. This is an absolute fail.
Yeah. It's not worth your time. And I can see... It's the type of thing Amazon Prime buys. It's like, look, these two are a proven hit. And then it's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see how it's performing. Of course, you'll never know because it's Amazon Prime.
They don't release those kinds of things as far as I'm aware. So I would be very surprised if we saw a season 2.
Yeah, it's sort of held together by how bad it isn't rather than how bad it is. Like, it's just like, this is like sort of... it's like you don't really care about it, and so it's not so bad you could trash it.
No,
and it's not so good that you could even remember it.
It's not horrendous. It's just disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's really, you expect disappointing. It so much.
And to be honest, the trailers didn't fill me with a lot of hope,
and
that has absolutely been reflected here. I just thought that was a bit flat. That trailer. That's exactly what the show is flat. Like like I said, it's a fail. So I'm not going to score more than 50 for me. But it's not like down around 20 or anything like that either.
It's not,
so. No. All right, that's our basic review of Truth Seekers. On the other side of this sound drop, we're going to get into spoilers.
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you, Jack. I don't think you need to... How apt for this particular show?
You don't need to see the truth either.
You don't need to see it. You don't need to handle it. You just need to hear us explain why. Now, first of all, Gus's character. Complete bristly prick in the first 20 minutes.
Yep.
They get a supernatural experience and suddenly he and Elton John are best buds.
Yes.
What happened there? Poor writing.
Poor writing. I think they're attempting, from what I've seen, to give him an arc by showing that he has an ex-wife that is departed or she died, I guess.
Yeah, and that's why he's dead keen to, if you'll pardon the pun, speak to the dead or whatever else. Yeah.
Okay, that's something, but not enough.
But that doesn't explain why he's so awful to this kid. I work alone.
Yeah.
And he's just bristly and difficult. And then they have their little ghosty experience with the lady with the dog and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And suddenly he's come around my house.
Yeah.
We move there fast.
Exactly. And also, even when he's like out, there's a bristly guy. His customer service is wonderful because he's like, this woman's come over here. She's cut the cord behind her TV or whatever. And I do believe she's lonely and she just wants people to come by.
Yeah.
He's really nice to her. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh, it's lovely. Have a cup of tea. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. When people wear personas, that's all right. I'm all right.
I don't mind it
just
as
much. Not
quite
much. So sure why it was so assholish to the kid to start with. You didn't want him there. Okay, but.
Well, that's it. I think it's the idea there is it's like I'm a lone wolf cop kind of thing. Like I work alone kind of thing. But I mean, the show just doesn't have the wit for it.
No,
it just as you know it, and even the Malcolm McDowell, right? So there's like a joke about slow stair lifts that go over and over and over, right?
That first joke wasn't bad.
The first one wasn't bad, but then it gets played and played and played, and that's because they don't have that many. Like it just doesn't have enough to give you.
Correct.
And Malcolm McDowell's character is supposed to be out of touch and. There's a one funny bit that I sort of saw in there, but like I said, I didn't laugh at this thing. So
I laughed. The only thing I laughed out loud, I chuckled, I think, at the stairlift first gag.
Yeah.
And then the only time I laughed out loud is back in that old lady's house. Right. So they're investigating what turns out to be that there's noises and whatever in the house. And it turns out that her ex-husband or her husband who's died and the dog who's died
trapped
the soul of the dog
in the skeleton or whatever. And then the woman looks at it and then it goes into her.
Yeah, I think
and then,
so.
And then she becomes the dog.
Yeah.
Weird. And I'm like, what?
But anyway, at that moment early on, she's like so desperate as per cutting the cord, so desperate for their attention. She's like, oh, I've been so rude. I haven't offered you anything. Cup of tea, biscuits, a bath. That was the only funny bit of the whole thing.
I didn't even pick that up, man. You know what? That's what this is. This show keeps calling for comparisons that it can't beat, like Shaun of the Dead and all that. And that's why this is worse than it would be normally.
Well, unfortunately, when you put Nick Frost and Simon Pegg together, that's what automatically comes to
you
mind.
You expect something.
Those two films in particular, we're not as big a fan of The World's End, but it's still a good film. It's just not as good as the other two.
Yeah.
So that trilogy of films, the Cornetto trilogy, which is fantastic, you know, they do great work. And Spaced. You know, Space, one of my all-time favorite TV shows ever.
Was Edgar Wright too?
Edgar Wright.
There you go. So. That's what I was hoping for with this.
Yep.
I was hoping for another Spaced. I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough.
Yep.
Nah, none of it. And it doesn't even, it's not even close, to be honest with you.
No, it's not. And even though we've got those same sort of bit supporting characters who pop up in those films and pop up in Space, they're popping up here as well. So they've got the crew back together. It's just not working because it lacks Edgar Wright. And we talked about it is Freak of the Week. The first one is the ghost house there. But then there's a girl with a ghost that's chasing her, which by the end of episode 3 sort of seems to be resolved. So where is it going from here?
Yeah.
But we've still got the mystery about his wife and that kind of stuff. So there's enough through lines, but the Freak of the Week stuff or the Monster of the Week, the Ghost of the Week, it's not compelling enough. It's not scary enough.
Like no way.
It tried to do something really clever in the second episode, which was heavily imply that Elton John is seeing this dude who's a ghost. He's not a ghost. He's just standing over there.
That's right.
Right? Which
that was sort of that was okay.
Well, it was okay, except for the ridiculously long 5-second pause while it tried to build up tension, as if they were confused. What are they talking about? Oh no, it's just over there. Like that was dumb.
Honestly,
the delivery was dumb.
That may be my favorite development of the three episodes I saw, though, because it's like you're led to believe that.
Oh, and the first time he spoke, I'm like, oh, he's a ghost.
Yeah. But then the fact that they turned it on its head and said, oh, no, we know that guy. You know, like, that was
the story writing was fine. Like, that was a plot development I appreciated.
Yeah.
But the delivery of that plot point, I'm like, awkward.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I didn't mind it as much. But, yeah, okay. I don't know if there's much more we can
say. There's probably not. This will be one of the shortest reviews we've ever done on the show. This is a really, really boringly lame, disappointing show, which isn't terrible, but it's just not good enough to spend your time with. Even in this desert of content, which we're about to start, we have started experiencing. There's no big films coming out, haven't been for a long time. Yep. I think we're about to start seeing the impact on TV as well, because this is the stuff that was largely shot that we're seeing now.
Yeah,
it was just able to be done, you know, in isolation,
post production. Yeah,
boy, look out, we're going to be in for some tough times the next 3 or 4 months, I think.
How did you hear of this? Because I hadn't heard about it before you told me about it.
Oh, they were advertising it on Amazon. Because I've got
Amazon, me too, yeah.
Amazon Prime. So I saw it there, saw the thing, checked out the trailer. I thought,
Hasn't made a lot of buzz elsewhere that I've heard of.
This will be one of our lowest downloads ever. I reckon people are truthful.
Like, exactly. Yeah. So fair enough.
But as I said, we're in the same drought of content as well. We are scrambling, like all podcasts are, out there to find things for you to review for you. That said, the next couple of weeks, looking a little brighter.
Yeah.
A couple of releases to cinema here in Australia. Freaky. That's what we're doing next week.
That's right.
And then the week after that, Fat Man.
Yeah.
With Mel Gibson and Wayne's favorite, Walton Goggins.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah. So there we go. That's it for us today. Anyway, I should say how to find us. Check us out on Twitter at Countdown PC via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com on Podbean, where we host the show. You can like and follow along. And check out our Australian home, ccradio.com.au, for some other great Aussie podcasts. And finally, the Facebook listed community link is in the show notes. And that's it from us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been Soundboard.
Take it back!
Simon Frost and Simon Frost? That'll do. Catch you next week.
See ya.